Well, good morning. Last Sunday, we wrote on the board, fences and open range. And last Sunday morning, we talked primarily about fences. And Sunday evening, we talked about hedges and how important it is for us to have fences and hedges for our spiritual prosperity and health. And today I would like to talk about open range a little bit. I would like for us to understand how important it is for us to know how to deal with open range. I believe that to be successful spiritually, we have to be willing to put those barriers in place for our own spiritual protection. We have to allow the relationship that we have with God to grow and to be protected and safe enough that we can have that deep-seated confidence that God loves us, that nothing that happens is going to separate us from the love of God. We have to have that. Romans 8, if you want to read about that, towards the end of the chapter, the Apostle Paul was convinced that nothing would separate him from the love of God. And that's part of a hedge that's grown up to protect us from the visibility of what's going on and coming in and out and going around in the world. But this morning I want us to kind of direct our mind, you know, the opposite of fences and hedges and all of that is for it to just be wide open spaces. And the area I grew up in, there was a period of time that there was a number of fences. It seemed like every 40 and at least every 80 acres had a fence around it. And as time has went on, the farmers have taken out those fence rows because they lost production. You know, there's land that could have been farmed there. So there's roads that's disappeared. Literally, they're farming the roads now down there. You can't get, they might be on the map and they might show up on Google, but I'm telling you, you better not try to, you'll be driving through somebody's field. They're just farming right through that down there now. So there was a time in our country's history that open range was quite common. Anybody ever heard about cattle drives? There was an era immediately following the Civil War that was a result of open range. And so I'd like to just set a little bit of a stage where we understand what it was like to operate then. It was only possible to have those cattle drives because there was a lack of fences from South Texas all the way to the what was becoming the Transcontinental Railroad. The railroad didn't get completed until like May of 1869, but the first cattle drive that cattle was delivered, I think there was about 2,500 steers that were brought to Abilene, Kansas in August of 1867. So the railroad wasn't completed, but it was part of the Transcontinental Railroad. It was very historical or history in the making for the ones that were raising cattle in the plains and then especially in South Texas, that they would have a market that they could take their ship their cattle out rather than putting them on a boat and taking them down to the coast. You would have had to have a harbor and there too, but there was no fences. The people that raised the cattle, they managed their cattle without fences, and they were able to. Can you imagine driving a herd of 2,500 cattle from South Texas to Abilene, Kansas today? You'd have to take the interstate and go down the blacktop. You couldn't just go across the country, and that's what they did. They found the natural path to follow, and they went. I don't know who went ahead, but anyway, that's how that happened. So to manage livestock in an open range situation has a level of challenges, to say the least, wouldn't you think? I would hate to think that I opened all the gates at my place and just said, well, let the cows fend for themselves. If they want to come out and graze in the front yard, I let them do that. If they want to graze on the neighbor's place, I my neighbors all have my phone number, and they would call me. They wouldn't like the idea of open range. We have some open range in our country still today, and you might get on a blacktop road somewheres that said, that has a sign on the side of the road that says open range. And if you do, that means look out. There might be cattle that crosses the road. There might be, there's places that, you know, the wildlife crosses the road anyway in our area, and they jump fences and all of that. But there's places that people's livestock are not contained by fences today in our United States. Not very common, but there are places. So how do you do that? I found out that branding cattle didn't just happen at this time in our history. Branding livestock has been around since maybe before the Israelites went to Egypt. Supposedly branding livestock was originated by the ancient Egyptians. And I remember my mother talking about her family and ancestors, and the neighbors didn't have fences. They may have had a pen up close to the house where they kept the maybe their chickens or their hog when it was time to fatten it up to butcher, but they let their livestock run free through the hills. There was nobody had had fences, and she talked about her dad notching the ears of the pigs. And I don't know, they had a sequence. They had an underbite and an overbite, and I don't know what they did, but every farmer had their own method of notching the ears of the pig or branding their cows or whatever they did. And that's how they established who the owner was. And when they had, y'all read about having roundups in the spring or in the fall, and when they would have a roundup, the young calf or whatever, the little pigs or whatever, they depended on them being connected to the mother strong enough that they would, that's how they determined ownership, was by association. And if the calf was with the mother, then it got the same brand as the mother did. And it didn't belong to you, it belonged to me. That's because the mother had the my brand on it. Well, this was a very high probability of thievery going on. There was opportunity for livestock thieves to catch and brand somebody else's calf. They could maybe do their own little roundup before the farmers got together, and they could put their own brand on it, or maybe haul it off without a brand and brand it somewhere else and let the brand heal up, and they could sell it for their... How could you prove that your cow didn't have a calf that year? How could you prove that your hog only had three little pigs and didn't have 10 or 15 or whatever it was? Some of them did that had. Maybe a fox got them, or maybe a coyote ate the calf, or all of those probabilities. So there was, ownership was a big issue there, and it was possible for livestock to disappear and to not be able to know who could who belong, you know, what belonged to the rightful owner. There was lots of dangers out there. Not only was there predators and thieves, but there was natural predators. There was weather and many other things that all this livestock had to contend with. So I'm thinking today, just put that out there for us to kind of get our minds thinking. And there is times when we, as Christians, we feel like we have to go beyond our hedge. And we feel like that sometimes we're out beyond where there's any established barrier. I was taught some very important things when I was raised. My parents taught me to stay away from things that would make me intoxicated. They taught me from little on up, don't touch that stuff. Don't try it. Don't start ever, you know, if your buddy pulls that. I mean, when I was young, children could go buy cigarettes. And my parents taught me from little on up, don't ever start that. They established some barriers. They put some fences up for me. And I could have went beyond that. I could have fell in the Grand Canyon, or so to speak. I could have went that way, but my parents taught me, don't do that, don't do this. They said, here's where the fence ought to be, but they didn't tell me anything about methamphetamines, because we didn't know about them. They didn't tell me about the dangers that the internet could pose. Well, that wasn't invented yet. They didn't tell me maybe some other things. They didn't give me maybe they could have gave me some more instruction. Maybe they could have helped me with some more boundaries. They taught me that I ought to let my hedge grow. Now, they didn't say it that way. They taught me that I needed to cultivate my prayer life. They taught me that I ought to read the scripture, that I ought to memorize as many verses as I possibly could. I had Sunday school teachers that encouraged me to memorize scriptures. I had all of that. They took me to camp meeting. They done everything they could to help my hedges to grow. But I'm going to tell you, as time went on, I realized there's more and more open range out there, and there's a devil that poses all kinds of threat to us. There's natural threats out there. There's thieves. You know, the scripture tells us that the enemy is looking, he's going about seeking whom he may do what? Devour. He's looking to see if he can catch us unawares, where there's no real established boundary and we don't have any secure hedge to keep us separated from something that he wants to present to us. So there's some open range, you might say, spiritually. There's a places that we travel from time to time in our walk of life that there's no defined area. Thou shalt not. You know, the Old Testament depended on that a lot, didn't they? But we are in a New Testament dispensation, and there's areas where there's no real fences. So how do we navigate that? How do they keep all the cattle in place? And how did they travel? I don't know. I know they had skill sets that I didn't have. But beyond the natural disasters and troubles that could happen along the route, of a cattle drive, I can't hardly wrap my mind around what it took to keep the cattle together from losing them in the bushes and the brambles and all of that from South Texas to, one of them came right through Baxter Springs, one of the routes. It was called the Shawnee Trail, and they came right up probably through our area and went to Sedalia, Missouri to put cattle on the train. So, I believe as Christians we need to build fences and we need to grow hedges and we need to provide the physical, visible barriers for our soul's welfare. But just like the open range of the past, we need to have some proof of ownership to keep us safe. Now, they branded the cattle in the old times, and there's ranchers in the wide open spaces today, whether it's open range or not, that still brand their cattle. They do that for security measures. And, you know, the scripture talks about having a mark in our forehead, and I'm not going to go there really too much, but I just want to throw this out. If you really are studying and thinking about something really tedious, where does your head start hurting? I'm not talking about a migraine. I'm talking about you're trying to sort out problems and you're really trying. Where does it start hurting? It's right up here in the front, isn't it? Most generally. You know, the Lord wants it stamped in our thinking, in the front of our head, of who our allegiance is to and what our bend should be and what our ownership should be aligned with. You know, internal guidance will keep us when there's no fence and there's no hedge. You realize that? Internal guidance. You know, a little child at my house, we have a set of stairs that goes down to a basement, and we have a little gate that looks more like a picket fence that we close when some of the grandchildren are there that don't have stairs at their house, and we close that. And why do we do that? Because we know that they don't know how to navigate those steps. And right now, little Matthew comes to our house. When he gets to where he's crawling and starting to walk and all of that, there's going to be that gate is going to be closed. Because I don't want him to go bumping down to the bottom of the stairs. I don't want him to hurt himself. So it's important for us to have those gates and those fences and those hedges. And it's important for us to put them in place for our children. These little children that's coming along, you parents it's going to be important for you to say, you don't do this. Mom and Daddy says you can't. This is something you're doing. I know your friends are doing it. I know there's somebody across the street is doing it. But you don't have to say this is the hedge we have at our house. You don't have to say this is the fence that Daddy's going to build. You're going to have to tell them and teach them and instruct them and guide them is this is the limits. This is as far as we can go. You can do this much, but you can't go there. All right? It's for safety. But beyond all of that, we want them to understand how to go up and down stairs, don't we? I want them to be able to go beyond where the fence is. The Lord wants us to do that too. So I want us to think about a scripture over here in Proverbs, the 7th chapter, and notice what it says here in Proverbs 7. I'm going to read beginning verse 6 in Proverbs 7. He says, "For at the window of my house I look through my casement." So the writer here says he was looking out his window. And I believe whether he literally saw this or whether it was something that he was able to relate because he had seen a pattern in life, I don't know. But he said, I looked out my casement, and behold, verse 7, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Now, a little child that's barely walking, don't have an understanding of how to navigate stairs. And he looked out of his window and he saw a young man void of understanding. Maybe he had not been taught. Maybe he hadn't had any hedges built for his life. And maybe it was an area that was beyond the parameter. Maybe it was something that had been invented, you see. My children and my grandchildren contend with the availability of the internet that was non-existent when I was young. They contend with the availability of marijuana as a legal thing to do that I didn't contend with. They talked about it when I was in school, but it was illegal, highly illegal then. But he said, "A psalm young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner." Do you know that the enemy is lying in wait at every turn in our life? He's looking for a way that is in the open range. You know, he will come inside the fence if we're not careful. You know, I've looked out of my window at my house multiple times. In fact, I took my rifle out and took a shot or two at a coyote last year because I had a cow with a brand new baby calf, and there was a coyote that was coming through the field looking like he was going to come right to where they were at. And somebody, anybody that's had cattle, you've seen that. And the thing, there's a sense of indignation that comes in us. How dare this coyote come? This new little calf has just barely been born, and this coyote is coming up close. You know, that's the way the enemy is. He'll come in our fence. He'll come in our pasture. He'll come when we are at our most vulnerable times. He's right there at the corner, right there where we make a decision to go left or right. He'll be there, and he's there to present something to us. And remember, this is being presented, the man that's telling the story here, the man that's wrote the words said it was, he observed a young man that was void of understanding. He didn't have it in his mind to do the right thing. To be aimlessly going through life is not a good plan. We need to have a purpose. We need to have a direction. Where am I headed? What's my intention? You know, some of the most unfulfilled days that I've ever had in my life is when I got up and didn't have an objective for that day. At the end of the day, it just feels like, well, it's gone. But what did I do? I didn't accomplish anything. We need to set out to be pleasing to the Lord every day. And if we have to go beyond the place where the fence or the hedge is a safety zone for us, something that we've been trained in, something that we have an understanding in, if we have to go beyond that, we need to have it in our head. We had the mark on our forehead, so to speak. It says, so she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. I have paid my vows. I don't want to get into a lot of technicalities here, but what is portrayed here is that what I'm presenting is reasonable. That's what she said. I have peace offerings with me this day. Have I paid my vows? Everything's all squared up. It's on the up and up. It's all equal, if you will. So the enemy comes along to us. He'd like to catch us in an area that we really don't know. We don't have any understanding about it. We don't know where it could go or where it could lead or how fast it will go. Or, you know, we just know that the song says sin will keep you longer than you meant to stay, and it will take you farther than you meant to go. That's kind of, somebody got inspired, wrote a song about that. Well, this writer said he looked through his window and he saw a man, a young man, void of understanding. And enticement came, and it said, it's all on the up and up. This is equal opportunity. And that's why the devil wants to present it to us. How can this be wrong? It might be a real gamble, and he says, you don't hardly stand a chance at losing. And isn't that, if I believed all of the advertisements for the casinos that I see along the side of the road, the casinos would be made out of used barn tin, because they'd be giving all their money away. But instead, the casinos look like a ritzy hotel. And I've never been in them, but I assume they look pretty swanky on the inside too. So there's some fault. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that there's some false advertisement going on. They don't give money away. They take money from you. That's the way it is. The devil doesn't come along and present something for your well-being. Didn't that what she's present? This harlot was presenting something. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a lot of enjoyment, a lot of reward and all of that. But was it? If you read the rest of the story, you find that it wasn't. We know that because we have more understanding. Because we're reading the Bible. That's why we know. But there's people that don't read the Bible. There's areas that we're going to come to that we need some guidance from within. We need some understanding. We're going to be in open range, if you will. And there's lots of danger. Sometimes it's the weather. Sometimes it's the atmosphere around us. Sometimes it's the enemy that's a predator that's coming towards us. Sometimes it's just a natural thing that we feel weak. You ever woke up and felt discouraged? It's possible. If you haven't, I'm sure you will. There's going to be days you just wake up feeling like, what's the use? And I'm thankful I haven't had many of those, but I have those. I have times I've got up in the morning and didn't feel encouraged and didn't feel lively and all of that. I'd like to go to another verse. I'd like for us to go to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and read beginning verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, I believe, and begin in verse 31. He says, beginning here, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now Jeremiah said, "Behold, the days come." Was it in Jeremiah's day? No, it wasn't there yet. In Jeremiah's day, they taught a lot of fences. They taught a lot of hedges. But when they got beyond that, when they went to Egypt, you know, there was a lot of open range in Egypt. And they got in trouble. They began to worshiping other gods in Egypt. You know, it's pretty easy to conform. Even if you feel like you have a rebellious 2-year-old or a rebellious 4-year-old, it's still pretty easy to make them conform. It's pretty easy to cause them to do the right thing. But as time goes on, unless they get something more than just fences and hedges, you're going to have some real trouble. So here's the deal. In Jeremiah's time, it was fences and hedges, and I believe in them. I believe that we need to set them up. We need to say, "I will not go there." We need to be able to say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And this is what serving the Lord means. We're not going to go to this place. We're not going to say those words. I can remember my mother telling me one time, I'd picked up some words from the fellows that I went to school with, and they weren't curse words per se, but she told me, "You just need to quit it. That's not a word you need to be using." And she just said, here's the line, and you're on the wrong side of it. I can remember those kind of things in my life, and they were good for me. But you know, there came a time that I had to realize the slang that the world puts out there, there's something behind that. And we need to think, what is my focus, and what brand am I wearing, if you will? What is it that I have in my mind and in my heart? What direction am I taking in life? I need to be able to navigate the stairs, if you will. I need to be able to navigate the ladder. I remember one time I was working on the house, and it was either, it was my oldest child. Trenton was, when we moved from that first house that we lived in, he was probably getting close to 3 years old or a little more when we moved. And he was probably 2, and I'd been working on reglazing my windows and painting them on the house, and I had a 6-foot step ladder and 2-year-old son, and I come around the corner of the house, and he's at the top of the ladder. I don't know how he got there for sure, but I was real confident he didn't know how to come down. And, you know, as a parent, it was like, how can I get there quicker? I did not want him to go from 6 foot to 0, because I knew that would have hurt really bad. He could have broke something. And so, but there's so many areas there that as we are growing and maturing, he'd ventured outside the fence, so to speak. I didn't realize I'd let the fence down, so to speak, there. But he went outside the fence and climbed the ladder. We're going to find things like that, and we've got to have it in our mind. It's good to set them. It's good to establish them, and they need to be there. But Jeremiah said there's coming a day that he's going to do it a little different. He's going to add another dimension, more than just a barrier fence, more than just a hedge. He's going to put an element there. He said, I'll write my law in their heart. What's a law? Go down the road, see a sign that says stop. That means you're supposed to quit moving. See a sign that says no passing zone. I remember my dad got a traffic violation ticket. He got stopped one time because he was passing in a no passing zone. And he wrote a letter to the state that he had got. It was out of state. And I don't remember the details. I was young. But he was used to there being when the double yellow line came on up, that there would be a sign over on the side of the road that said no passing zone. You ever notice that correlation? Double yellow line, no passing zone. And the state that we was in, I guess, didn't have that. They just put the double yellow line. And he wrote them, told them that if you're going to put double yellow lines, you need to put a sign up over there. I don't know if they did or not, but anyway, there's laws that says don't pass. And if you pass, you broke the law. But you know, you don't have to know that there's a double yellow line when it's hilly and curvy and you can't see ahead. You just know you shouldn't pass, right? You need to stay in your lane, even if they're going slow. You got to get to where you can see and judge your distance and know you can get around instead of just pulling out blind. You don't pull out to pass going uphill and you got a quarter of a mile. You don't do that. Not in stay alive. He wants to put it in our heart. He wants us to understand the why. Why is the sign that says no passing? Because if you pull out in this curve or on this hill, the chances are you can't get around the person in front of you before you have a head-on collision. They're just odds. You can't see through that hill. He wants to put that understanding in our hearts. The Lord wants to do that spiritually. And Jeremiah said, there's coming a day, it's going to be like that. So let's read about it. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and see what the Apostle Paul says. I believe that Jeremiah was on his mind when he wrote this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and we'll begin in the first verse. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1, he says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some other, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared by the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So the Apostle Paul wasn't writing about this as hopefully this will come someday, like Jeremiah was. He wrote and he said, this is the way it is. He says that ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. He's talking about it's here with us. It's now present. It's able to be done. It has been done. He says, I see it working. When you go into the open range and there's not a fence, there's not a barrier, there's not a thou shalt not, there's not a command that you must do something. you're able to navigate that. And that's what the Lord wants us to have today. He wants us to be able to navigate those open range places in the spirit world and in the world that we live in and keep our soul and keep our integrity. He wants us to be able to have the confidence at the end of life that just because there wasn't a fence and a barrier around everything, I knew better than to pull out to pass. I knew that I ought to refrain myself. I knew that I shouldn't allow my time to be spent doing whatever it was. I kept myself by the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul says, I saw this happening. I see this happening. I can tell that it's actually in place. You know, that brings a lot of joy to the Lord. It brings joy to a parent to see a child be able to navigate dangerous situations, not because you necessarily taught them how to do specifically what they're doing, but you taught them how to think about the dangers. You taught them how to anticipate what might happen. The Lord wants us to be able to face with courage the things in our, in our judicial system. There's times that people can try to plead ignorance, but we can't always plead ignorance just because we haven't been told specifically. You understand what I'm saying there? You know, I wished I had a perfect illustration. This is probably not near perfect, but I will share it with you. You know, I might have been taught to not smoke tobacco. I was taught not to pretend I was smoking tobacco. Don't take a stick and pretend it's a cigarette. I was taught that, okay? But there was a principle of why I was being taught that by my parents that I needed to get a hold of. And it kept me from trying to smoke other stuff besides tobacco. All right? And that's the point I want us to realize, is this open range. I belong to the Lord. The scripture says, don't you know, this is paraphrasing, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Then if it is, I shouldn't be smoking grapevine or marijuana or any of that other stuff. I need to stay away from it. There's a principle here involved. Why would I drag smoke in? That's not healthy for me. Lord, help us to get a hold of the concept that the open range is a place where we can easily get in trouble. But we need it stamped in our mind, in our heart. Who do I belong to? Where am I planning on going? What's the end result of this going to be? Is there some understanding? I need to stop and think. Is this the path that I need to be on? No, it may not be something that the pastor said or the Sunday school teacher said or my parents said, but I can tell that there's a problem here. This is not a path I need to be on. And the Lord wants us to be able to navigate the open range that the enemy wants to entrap us in. I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful.